Radio broadcast, and today we are driving in a bus back from Hebron. Maybe you were with us when we traveled from Jerusalem to Hebron. Now we're going back. We've been at the Cave of Machpelah. We've been where Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are buried, and I'm going to read you now from Genesis chapter 49. Jacob died in Egypt, but before he died, he blessed his sons, and he charged them, verse 29, and said unto them, I am to be buried. I am to be gathered unto my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite, in the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field of Ephron the Hittite for a possession of a burying place. There they buried Abraham and Sarah, his wife. There they buried Yitzhak and Rivka, his wife. And there I buried Leah. The purchase of the field and the cave that is therein was from the children of Het. And so we've been to that place. It is now very contested territory. Hebron, as we told you on the day we were traveling to Hebron, has 80% been given over to the Palestinians, even though it was the place of Abraham's altar. And 20% is in Jews live. And there are now living there 1,000 Jews. Even within their lands, we were told, their part, they have 15,000, I think they said. They're a minority in their own part. They have 15,000 or so Palestinians hostile to them. So, in this very place that is very contested, years ago, I was in Southern California in a meeting, and there was an article in the Jerusalem Post when Ariel Sharon was the Minister of Housing, and he was bringing a bulldozer down into this area to build something. And so the World Press said to him those many years ago, you have no right to build there because they had these such and such UN papers and decision. And he said, what are those little papers to me when we have more than 3,000 years of history there in the Bible? And so he proceeded. Now, they have that much history. But today, even though it is, and at that time, I was impressed of the Lord. You see what the Jews' right to Hebron is. And that's when I started studying about Hebron in the Bible and their right. In the first place, that's the place of the covenant between the pieces. We studied that on our yesterday's broadcast in Genesis chapter 15. So it's theirs by right, by the promise of God. When they were coming in to the promised land and the 12 spies came in Hebron, they saw the giants. And the giants scared them. And so they wandered 40 years in the wilderness. But it was there that God proclaimed to them, they'd seen the giants in Hebron, I'm going to fill all the earth with my glory, Numbers 14. And so when Joshua finally did come into the land, and he divided the land of Hebron, it was given for an inheritance to Caleb. Remember Caleb? He was the one that said, they're bread for us. We can take them. He said, give me that land where the giants are. So it was theirs by right of inheritance. When David became king, he ruled in Hebron for 7 years. It's theirs by right of rule. It's theirs by right of purchase. Abraham purchased the cave of Machpelah. Conquest, inheritance, rule, inhabiting the place. Abraham lived here. And they live here now, Jews live here now, and the Bible is the number one. All of this is recorded in the Bible. And though today even our own Condoleezza Rice State Department have threatened things about this place. So we leave it in the hands of God. That's what we were told there. The people who spoke to us said, we trust God. Prime ministers change. Conventional wisdom changes, but the book never changes. and that is the place where God spoke to them, even the covenant for greater Israel. Now someone asked me, because in the place where we went that was built by Herod, you can go there and see a building that he would have built very near to the time that he did the refurbishing building on the second temple. We see the Herodian stones. We go there, and that building is built over the caves where Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and their wives are buried, and that's a prayer place for the Jews. And so we went there, and Renan Levy, who is our partner in Migdal, and who many of you know from so many times he's spoken with us in Branson and other places. And Renan, who is a Jew, a practicing Jew, by practicing his belief, his faith, he went in to pray. And he took out his tallit, his prayer cloth, and he put on the phylacteries. And so someone said, "What is this?" When the Jews bind, and you see it at the wall, they bind these black boxes to their hands and to their arms and to their foreheads. Why do they do that? They do that because the Bible tells them to do that. And they do it, with scriptures inside the boxes. The boxes are only to hold the scriptures. And the scriptures that are in there are these. When Moses gave them instruction for coming in the land, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. In the Hebrew, it begins, Shema Yisrael. Hear, Israel. In our English version, the authorized version, it says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. Now here is the instruction. You shall bind them for a sign upon your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them upon the posts of your house and on your gates. So they do it. They take this scripture, the Shema, they bind it on their hand, on their foreheads, in a little box. And then every room that you go to, every hotel room, every gate in Jerusalem, there will be what they call the mezuzah. And it will be on the doorpost with this scripture in it and with another scripture. And the other scripture comes from Deuteronomy 11, when they said to them, when you go into this land, Deuteronomy 11:10, for the land where you go in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt, from which you came out, and where you sowed your seed and watered it with your foot as a garden of herbs. But the land where you go in to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinks water of the rain of heaven, a land which the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. You know, in all the earth there is a land that's very special to God. And we're driving in that land right now. We have two buses. We've been here with Christians United for Israel. We've marched in the streets of Jerusalem to say, we're reunited with you, Israel, because we're united with the Word of God. And in this Word of God, it says, verse 13, Deuteronomy 11:13, it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, to serve him with all your heart and all your soul, I will give you the rain. Remember, he said this land is not like the land you came out of. In Egypt, they depended upon their agronomy by the rise and fall of the Nile River. They dug trenches and worked water to irrigate and worked water wheels with their feet. But God says, no, in this land, you're going to have seasonal rains, the former rain and the latter rain. And you're going to have to depend upon me to give you that rain. And that's what it says. If you serve me with all your heart and your soul, then, verse 14, I will give you the rain of your land in its due season, the early rain and the latter rain, in order that you may gather in your corn, your wine, and your oil. And he says, if you don't obey me, then I will shut up the heavens and there will be no rain, verse 17, and your land will not yield her fruit, and you could perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord gives you. Therefore shall you lay up, now here you go again with his instruction about writing these words. You shall teach them your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you lie, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall write them upon the doorposts of your house and upon your gates, that your days may be multiplied and the days of your children in the land which the Lord swore unto you to give them as the days of heaven upon the earth. And so there on the doorposts are written these scriptures, the Shema and the picture and the scriptures about the rain. Very important. And then we're told in Joel that these rain scriptures have to do, they stand for the Spirit. They are taught, an object lesson taught to you. The rains are like the outpouring of the Spirit of God upon you. We're also told that in Acts chapter 2. And we're told, ask ye of the Lord rains in the time of the latter rains. And so when you see the Jews having, look, like we're passing by a bus stop right now, and you see the tzitzit, you see the little strings that are hanging down from the undergarments, and even they come from the prayer cloths too, of the Jews. These are written in the Bible. Tell them what to do. You see the ones with the little curls that come down from the, that's called the corners of their hair. And there's a scripture in the Bible which tells them not to cut the corners of their hair. So depending upon how religious you are and how you keep things, you let those corners of your hair grow. And so we are here driving on our way to Jerusalem. And we want to invite you to come and be with us on this bus next year. We're going to plan a trip early part of June. It's going to be as soon after school's out and graduations are over as we can get, so that we can get a marvelous group of people, teachers and students. Coming the time of the year that we're here right now in March and April, people who are in school can't come with us. So it's going to be open to everybody, and we'll have more than one busload. One busload is going to be a youth bus. We had a youth tour, an all-youth tour, one year in June, and it was just wonderful. It was so good that one of the ladies that works for us said, let's cancel all the other tours and just have youth tours. But it's fun. It's adventuresome. Call us at 417-336-4877, and you can get information about our tours. You can get the book, The Mountains of Israel, for $7. Because when we're on, when we're at Hebron, when we're up at, we're on the mountains of Israel in Jerusalem. That's what the world calls the West Bank. You need an understanding of it. Call us and order The Mountains of Israel for $7 plus shipping. And the number to call is 417-336-4877, or write us at Post Office Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 65615. And this is Billy Brim, inviting you to be with us tomorrow when we have another Watching in Victory. Shalom, shalom.